to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I want to get Gary Melton, who's very impressive. Follow his work in the last few years, but man, have him on. He's dead on. Former Green Beret, military trainer, you name it. I got Roger Stone coming up. I'm going to get you out of here, but this is psychically very painful to watch what's happening. I apologize to listeners that I missed it. I wasn't watching. I'm always mainly focused on, you know, the big globalist players, but obviously the attacks we knew would come from below and in the grassroots. Just in closing, two-minute closing comment on where we are and where this is going and what you think we should do.
Yeah, look, this is not about Candace Owens. Candace Owens is the mascot of what's happening at the moment. Candace Owens is going to come and go, and this is going to happen again. And it's going to be more polished. It's going to be better than it was this time, and it's going to trick more people. And it's going to move us in a worse direction because we have to wake up as Americans. You got to start using some critical thinking. You need to have some cognitive security. And again, the key here is not to just to say reject everything that comes from the government, reject everything that comes from social media. We need to be able to analyze, assess everything individually and independently and say, hey, does this make sense? And we can't afford to be tricked, folks. And that's what's going on here. And you got to wake up and understand that this is how we lose our country.
Absolutely, because it's proven fraud. But once they're committed, it's like the Nigerian emails that have been going on for 30 years. They get you to give $100 to get $1,000. They go, oh, give more money. Give $5,000, get $100,000. And these people, I had family, not distant family, give up hundreds of thousands of dollars to Nigerian scammers because they'd already invested so much. And I tell them, I said, it's a scam. Stop. They'd say, you're just mad. I've got a good opportunity. It's once they're on the line, it's so sad.
Well, I mean, we're normalizing the idea that we are not innocent until proven guilty. And that's going to find its way into the justice system. Like, that will happen because everybody's like, oh, it's not a big
deal.
Wait
a minute. I was found guilty by two judges. Mike Lindell just was. It's already happening.
Yeah. Like, we can't be tolerant of these types of things. That is not something that we can afford to tolerate. These are principles on which this country was founded. It's why we're the greatest country on earth. And now we have somebody very unsophisticated, not even working all that hard to do it, and we're tricking millions of people out of giving up our principles on which my fellow brothers in arms have died for. People have died for these principles, and out of just, I don't know, entertainment, you're willing to forfeit them because you want to know the business of Eric Kirk. You want to know the business of Brian Harpole. And, you know, it's just not a big deal. Folks, it's a big freaking deal. These are the fundamental principles in which this country is founded on. You don't get to accuse me of something without evidence. And I don't need to prove my
innocence. But even when they give the alibis, they don't buy it.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And that's again, that's where we get into tyranny. That's how tyrannical governments work too, right? It's never good enough. Once they've chosen you as a target, you might as well just give up the ghost. And that's what's happening in the private sector. I don't know the answer, but the answer ultimately has to be that the American people wake up to what's going on and the fact that this is destroying the conservative movement. This is destroying our chances for midterms. This is destroying our chances for 2028.
Well, God gave us the court record and the video of the opposite of what he said, and they still reject it.
Yeah. Well, look, we say that, Alex. I think there's a lot of reasonable people out there, and that's who we're reaching, right? We're not going to change the cultists overnight. They didn't become a cult member overnight. They're not going to get out of that cult overnight. The people that we are reaching, and I think it's more than we probably realize, especially when we get sucked into social media, we're reaching the reasonable among us. And I think there's a lot more. It's always the silent majority, right?
No, I agree with you. And there's a global awakening. It's great. The only way they can attack us is from within. We've got to back Trump all the way, criticize when he's wrong, but back the overall agenda. It's night and day. Thank you so much. Gary Melton, Paramount Tactical on X, YouTube Paramount Tactical. Incredible job. Just God bless you, brother. We're so proud you're fighting tyranny and you're a real asset for humanity. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, and have a happy new year.
Yeah, we're about to enter the year 2026. Roger Stone in 60 seconds. Out of the gates. Get ready. Then Kyle Seraph and Gavin McGinnis.
Right. Simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal Human Beef Tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, the great Roger Stone, in the twilight of the incredible year 2025, we have come so far, the attempted Trump assassination, the border secured, these wars stopping, so much good has happened, but at the same time, only a few indictments, then reversed. People are pissed off. They want action. Wow. Roger Stone, you've got the floor for the few minutes we've got with you tonight. StoneZone.com, Trump's former chief political advisor, longtime wingman, 50 years. Roger, you're all sharp in your tuxedo. I wonder where you're at right now. Thank you so much, Roger. In the limited time, give us your prognosis of where we are on 2025, entering the incredible 2026 in the midterms.
Well, Alex, I dress this way for dinner every night. No, not really. First of all, I wanted to stop in and just salute you. Your endless energy, your boundless patriotism. You are the hardest working man in show business, literally. The content you turn out, look, I don't agree with all of it. I agree with most of it. But you never quit fighting for the country, for the Constitution. You never stop fighting the globalists. I really want to salute you tonight. That's why I wanted to pop in.
Well, how I know you talked to him all the time. How's he doing? How would you prognosis where we're at?
Alex, if you look, for example, at this monumental scandal in Minnesota, billions of dollars before it's all over of waste, fraud, and abuse, which is soon going to be revealed in Ohio, in Washington State, in Oregon, in Michigan particularly, New York, and so on.
It just shows everywhere.
Yeah. And the point, of course, of this is that in politics, a week is a lifetime. A week can change everything. This is an extraordinary issue to go into the 2026 elections with. The Democrats, particularly Tim Walz, knew of this fraud was taking place. They covered this fraud.
Well, let's be clear. It's coming. They're in charge of it.
No question. So the question I asked last week, when I spoke at the Turning Point USA, terrific America Fest gathering in Phoenix, is what did Tim Walz know and when did he know it? Or more precisely, when is Tim Walz being arrested? When are 29 heavily armed FBI agents storming his home at 6 o'clock in the morning in full SWAT gear and brandishing fully automatic M4 assault weapons? That's what I'd like to know.
All right, I can ask 1,000 questions in limited time. What do we need to know right now? Obviously, Trump's night and day compared to the left. We love him. We're backing him. We criticize the bad decisions. He's finally on the war path on Epstein. Hey, the Democrats, the pedophiles, release it all. Screw you. It's exposing them all. That's blowing up their face. What else is going on?
Well, you raise an excellent point, Alex. I think the Epstein thing is blowing up in the Democrats' face spectacularly. Remember, up until roughly 10 days ago, Bill Clinton continued to insist that he'd never been on
Epstein.
Yeah,
notice Epstein suddenly out of the news because Trump did the right thing. Like, how did he? You told me, I don't want to get in trouble, but when he was president, like you said, listen, the CIA, he was a CIA guy, which we already knew, the planes, all of it. Trump's being asked for national security. You know, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, we're trying. But like, it's all been, and now they suddenly just shut up. So you were proven right.
Well, as you know, all the way back in 2015, in my book, The Clinton's War on Women, I had read all the sworn testimony of the Epstein victims who had refused to settle for multimillion-dollar payments. And at least four of them specifically saw Bill Clinton on the island. Also, the FAA manifests of who was on the Lolita Express indicate that Clinton was on the plane 27 times. He was at the island at least three times, I think as many as four.
Sure, so now, Trump suddenly, says it's all them. My point is, he finally attacks them and says it's all you. It may hurt some innocent people, but screw you. Last week and 2 weeks ago on Truth Social, they suddenly shut up, which we were telling him, like, you've done nothing, hit them. So shouldn't he go further and double down?
Yes, I think he should. I mean, we need to name names as far as Epstein Island is concerned. It's not just Bill Clinton. It's former Governor Bill Richardson. It's former U.S. Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell. There are no Republicans on Epstein Island. Tell me the Republicans who visited Epstein Island. The answer would be none. So, yes, I think we need to go on the attack.
But let's get down to brass tacks. And you were nice, like 10 months ago or so, I said, Roger, you told me when he was president-elect, the CIA's come, you know, you wouldn't say Trump told you, you said, look, it's the CIA, it's these planes, it's Mossad, it's MI6, it's old news, there's no clear path, you don't expect anything. And I'm like, well, they're going to double-cross him and claim he's involved when he, and they sure as hell did that. So how refreshing was it when he said, release everything, it's all you, F you, now that's crickets. He should double down and just release it all. How did they, because that wasn't a straight up, oh, cover this up, but how did that happen? Because you were the one who predicted this. How did this happen?
It's a little hard to be certain, although my guess is that he had enormous pressures from the many, many entities that Epstein worked for. That would include the Saudis, Israel, his involvement with the British royal family, the Khashoggi. I mean, there's a long and sordid history here. The one person who's not guilty of any wrongdoing is Donald J. Trump. So maybe we were.
And again, even Wolf that hates him admits Epstein said Trump dropped the dime, as you reported in your book a decade ago. Trump dropped the dime. So I'm like, Trump, you have all the weapons. You're the hero. Use it.
Yes, and now he's doing that. So, I mean, I think you're not going to hear much more Epstein because it's blown up in their face spectacularly. But we shouldn't drop it because
so,
the Democrats.
Exactly. So why did they do it? Why would they try it if they know it's all about it's? They just wanted to see what would happen.
No, I thought that they. I think they thought they could bluff their way through it. And now that they've finally gotten. By the way, I'm for full disclosure. I want to disclose everything with the exception of the names of the victims. That's the only thing that should be held back. Why? Because I'm fearless. There's nothing there that would embarrass the president or any Republican for that matter. So, yes, let's see it all. Let's see absolutely all of it. That's always been my view.
Well, let me hit this point. I'm not trying to embellish you or make you look cool, but you are kind of known as a player. In between marriages, the New York Times reported in the 90s that you were the wingman when he would take girls out on double dates so that it wouldn't become an issue in the news what girls he was dating. Trump likes, like, what, 35-year-old on average, bombshell, super intimidating women. I've met Melania. No woman's ever intimidated me except her. Like, he's not into kids. The point is, you've literally, you never talk about this, but you told me, well, yeah, that's kind of accurate. You've literally were Trump's wingman during divorces. You can tell people, obviously, he's not being pissed on in St. Petersburg. That was fake, too. He's a clean freak. The point is, you never say this, Roger, because you don't kiss and tell, but you've been Trump's wingman, and obviously, this dude is into bombshell intimidating women. He is not into kids, and it's all a lie.
He was one of the great playboys of all time. In the period that he was single, he was dating a bevy of beautiful models. I knew Melania. We did a trip when he was exploring a presidential run in 2000. We did a trip out to Minnesota. We did a trip together in California. Those still photographs exist. I think Melania is one of the most incredible women I've ever met. She's kind. She's cultured. She's multilingual. She's a wonderful mother. She's a great role model. But they still don't put her on the cover of Vogue. Tomorrow, Alex, for the 17th year consecutively, I release my international best and worst dress list, something, as you know, is a great tradition I picked up from Mr. Blackwell. And Melania Trump moves to our Hall of Fame. This is the most chic, first lady since Jackie Kennedy, which is a wonderful, warm-hearted, decent, educated, gentle person. And the left just will not recognize.
No, total class. We don't want them to recognize her. It'd be horrible if they did. In closing, Trump, you know, 6 months ago was the highest ratings ever. I agree with the Rasmussen guy that it's gone down some, but it could bounce back. What do we do to win the midterms in closing?
Let's stop fighting with each other and focus on the radical left, because they still want to destroy this country. We don't have the luxury of fighting with each other. These people are very determined, and if we should manage to lose the House, which I will not concede, this enormous scandal in Minnesota that is going to spill over to Ohio and virtually every state is exactly the kind of new development that can pop up at any time. So those who want to concede 2026 don't understand politics and don't understand that literally in our politics today, a week is a lifetime. The Democrats will be on the run by Election Day. Also, Trump has laid the fundamentals through his tax cuts, through his regulatory cuts, through his trade policies, the American economy. Once we get the interest rate cut from the politicized Federal Reserve Board, once we have a new chairman and we get a non-political decision based on the rate of inflation and the rate of unemployment, which would merit a much deeper cut in interest rates than they have given us so far, this economy is really going to cook. And that's the best possible backdrop.
And by the way, you're never a hopium guy. You told me 2 months before the 2020 election, Trump's going to win, but not by a big enough margin. They're going to steal it. Don't tell anybody. And you're right. You're saying we win 2016 because of the fourth turning if we just stay on course.
Yes, I believe we will win. I believe the economic backdrop for that election is going to be extremely strong. And this new scandal is really going to rock America, because it's not just these child care centers. It's not just transportation. You're going to find billions have been stolen, as Elon Musk told us, warned us, from the American taxpayers.
Oh, what's beautiful is thousands of reporters everywhere, all over the country. It's incredible. StoneZone.com. So glad we could finish up this epic year of 2025 together, Roger.
God bless you, Alex. Great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. StoneZone.com. All right. The mighty Kyle Serafin. In fact, it's kind of scary, because the people I have on all the time are the people that are right most. And with Kyle Serafin, it's getting a little creepy. I can't find where he's been wrong so far. In fact, I'm a little jealous right now. Everything he's been saying is coming true. We should make this guy the FBI director. He doesn't want the job. Kyle, thanks for being with us at the end. And I'm not sucking your dick. It's just true. I'm glad you're here with us at the end of this year. We could talk about so much here. You know, the pipe bombing thing that you predicted being a setup, already unraveling, all the crazy stuff, you know, where this is going, Bongino flipping out. I'm talking to dozens of reporters a day. He's like calling up screaming, I'm going to get you. You talk bad about me. I'm returning to just the madness of King George. It's not even a story. It's just crazy. With all this stuff, what is front and center for you in the year 2025 as we close out here?
So as this year ends, the question I have is some of this stuff intentional, or have we just reached the point where, you know, crappy hiring, DEI policies and bad recruiting for a number of years has reached a peak where we're seeing failure just because the agencies can't do what they were supposed to do? You know, I'm hyper-focused on things like DOJ and generally speaking, federal law enforcement more broadly. And the biggest thing that I see is that they're not doing the job that they signed up to do. So I don't know if they're doing it on purpose, if they're showing up and putting a bad foot forward to embarrass the people that are taking credit for it. So if they're looking to make Pam Bondi look bad, they're doing a great job. If they're trying to make Kash Patel, Bongino on his way out look bad, Jeanine Pirro look bad. I just read some filings today. There was some additional filings in the pipe bomber case that kind of blew my mind, which it indicates the DOJ didn't even go seek an indictment. And I don't know why. And so I'm left with this question, because I'm used to seeing agencies be competent. Usually they're run by people who are more government focused. I don't want to be completely partisan about it. There's a left lean in government in general. And so when you see these people and they kind of have this incompetence that has not been common, you know, the left hasn't missed a whole lot. They were pretty effective at what they were doing while they had power. And now you got people that are sitting in there and they're not even coming up with an indictment on somebody that, you know, I don't think they should be able to get it in. I think there's also a real possibility they were scared of trying to take the information they had in front on this particular pipe bomber case. I think they were afraid of taking it forward and putting it in front of a grand jury and getting, you know, returned with no bill. So, which is to say no indictment. I don't know. I just keep looking at these people and wonder, it's the same question I used to have under Chris Wray. Is it incompetence or is it malfeasance? And I'm coming back to that question now as the year ends and I'm watching this first sort of, you know, this is the first quarter, let's call it ending. But if you don't have points on the board by the end of the first half, you know, game over, as you guys were talking about. So we're watching some of the big marquee cases. And look, I didn't make these the marquee cases. And that's the big thing for me, too. I watched two people come in. They talked the biggest game possible. I was literally talking to a reporter today. Somebody who didn't know me before, Alex. And so we're having this conversation and he goes, is it true? You know, someone was telling me that that Patel was actually asking you for advice before he got sworn in. I go, yeah, that's of course that's true. And he goes, can you document any of that? I go, yeah, let me send you some text messages. Here's what we were talking about. Here's the 7 phone calls we had over a period of 3 months because I was trying to get the guy prepped to do the work. So they came in and said what the priorities were. They said what they were going to be effective at. And then what we've seen is not that. And so I'm wondering what these agencies are doing. I'm wondering why you got this story, which is going to close out the year. And, you know, we talked about it the other day. I had to call you up and get on there because it was such a wild story. The fact that the DOJ dodged doing what they were required to do after failing to do what they would normally do. And that is to say they would normally go seek an indictment after an arrest. That's really common. So you may put a complaint out there. That's the piece of paper that you swear out in front of a judge and says, yeah, we want to go arrest this guy. But then you got to go out there and get a grand jury to give you the indictment. And they always do that. And the reason why is because DOJ doesn't deal in preliminary hearings. And yesterday they were supposed to have a preliminary hearing and they dodged it in the most illogical way possible. They ran to another grand jury in a place they weren't allowed to do
it. So it's basically a runaway train. Like the worst moves you could make, they're all making like 8 months ago, 10 months ago. Why would Bongino and Patel go like deer in the headlights and say, Epstein killed himself. No other accomplices. No accomplices with crooks in Pennsylvania. The Easter Bunny is real. And like if you're going to cover up, just shut up. It's like they're possessed by a demon of destruction. It's like the worst move.
I watched you in your car earlier. I watched that video that you posted over on X. And so I'm watching Alex Jones do his thing. And this is what Alex Jones does. You know, this is who you are. You're sitting out there and you're just speaking from the heart. And you're saying what you think. And you're running through the wild behavior that you see on the back end that other people are not privy to. You know, people see social media accounts. They think that's reality. It's not. What they don't see is the phone call and they don't see, you know, the threats that happen in the background to other, you know, members of the media and so on. We're literally watching the assistant attorney general for civil rights, Harmeet Dhillon, run out and call people hoes and block them on social media because she doesn't like what they're saying. Meanwhile, her job is to preserve free speech.
By the way, I'm telling Flynn during a break on air, that Bongino's calling up threatening dozens of reporters I know. When I say dozens, I mean like, quote, I'm coming for you.
Yeah,
During the break, they go, look, he goes, yeah, here he is screaming at me yesterday. I mean, like, what? We're not even after Bongino. What does he mean? Like, one, I'm a podcaster, I'm coming for you. Like, what is that? It's so crazy.
What it tells you is that they forgot the fundamental rule of holes, which is that when you're in one, put down the shovel and stop digging. And you and I have been talking about this for going on like 9 months now. We watched it happen in March and in April. It certainly happened in May after the big Fox interviews these guys went out and did. And you know, there are parts of this administration that refuses to do the work and they want to get credit for the talking part of it. They want the
But it's worse than that. Because I don't have a hard on for Bongino. I don't even care. I never even attacked the guy. He's literally calling up dozens of people, screaming at them and for months and like screaming if they criticize any. What does he think that does? It makes you the enemy. Like, what is he doing? It's crazy town.
It's what happens when you take a job that you know that you probably shouldn't have had. And, you know, look, some people go out there. My wife is one of the greatest people in the world because whenever something goes wrong, she assumes it's her fault. This is why I love her so much. I'm kind of the opposite of that. When something goes wrong, I assume somebody else screwed up. So I go looking for it. I don't know where you fit in that category, Alex, but when I'm dealing with people, I'm like, oh, you must have blown it because it couldn't have been me. And then if I sit there and I'm being honest with myself, I go, okay, well, I may have actually screwed this part up. So now I got to take some responsibility. It feels like he's in that space where he used to talk about on his program all the time, projection. This is what the other side does. They accuse you of what they're doing. You've got Dan Bongino sitting in a government office whose job it is to protect civil liberties at the FBI. It's one of their sworn priorities.
And he thinks running around bullying people is going to make him like, if I wanted to destroy myself, I would do exactly what he's doing. Like, he can't be that stupid.
It's like setting up rakes and then stepping on them every time you turn around. Then you just completely forgot that. I mean,
let's do an analysis. I'm not the toughest guy around. I'm a nice guy. I'm looking for trouble. Do you think threatening me is going to make me be nice?
Well, this is the funny thing too. I've had these back and forth with some of the Dan as well. You know, we had this conversation where he at one point he called me up. He says, you know, we all need to get along. We all need to get, you know, along together. And he sends me these text messages, says, you know, stop the infighting. I said, what's your plan? This was back in 2024. What's the plan? And he goes, we just have to win this election. It's like, that's not a plan, man. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep saying what I think is true. If that's unpalatable to you, that's your problem. If you want me to be part of something, you got to tell me what the thing is. And then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it. If you're going to go sit out in front of Fox News and say things that are the exact opposite of what you spent your entire...
But that's what I'm saying, you know, is if he wants saying, to leave, fine. Why does he think attacking everyone is like good when he leaves? I would rehabilitate him. Instead, he's like marching into war against everybody, and I'm like laughing at him. That's why I did that video. And I was like, dude, because I told you the story, you know, off. He literally calls up screaming at me, basically, F you years ago for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm just at a certain point, I'm like, well, I'll do your New York thing back to you, dude. I just, you know.
Yeah, it's not a strong position that we've seen these guys take. And again, I'm seeing a number of people, and it's particularly at DOJ. And I don't know if it's DOJ's culture right now and FBI's culture where they're looking at, they know they don't have control. I mean, shit, you got Ballantyne as the prosecutor walking out of the pipe bomber case. This is the same person that went after Enrique Tarrio, you know, went after General Flynn. So you have that lady in the courtroom and she's out there quarterbacking this case. They may have somebody else arguing it, but I was talking to a reporter who was sitting in the room and he said, you know, she's calling the shots and they got someone else saying the words. And it's like, okay, fine. Who's in charge over there?
And yeah, I think you're right. The globalists act like they're in control. No one's in control. This is a runaway train. It's completely insane, even more dangerous. And again, Bongino, you think you're going to go around and call hundreds of reporters and threaten them? All you're doing is making everybody come in.
All you need to do is turn around and play your last 9 months that you've been talking and all the posts that you have. And we know that you were rattled to your core because you saw something. And just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Bongino,
it's like,
well, it's I've not. Been calling up kissing everyone's ass. Like,
that's right. Yeah. Like, I'm going to really need a break and I really use a favor and I'd love to rehabilitate myself. That'd be the thing that I'd be going to do. He's doing the opposite. So, you know, maybe he thinks there's some value in conflict. But again, I watched that video and I cracked up and my little group chat of former FBI guys and other federal employees, you know, we swapped that video around and we were all cracking up. Everybody had a reaction to it. It was all funny and positive because it's like, yeah, why would you do this? I guess crack out at the end of the year. It's one way to end out the year. We're going to go into 2026.
Well, I wasn't trying to piss on him. I've had him behind the scenes. He's done all this stuff to me and I'm just done. I'm like, hey, Bongino, no more, dude. I did nothing to you. Kyle Serafin, people can find your great work. By simply searching your name, you're on X, you're everywhere. Kyle Serafin, KyleSerafin.com, Kyle Serafin on X. Thank you so much, sir. I want to talk to you all right now about something beyond important. And it's about a choice that you have to make. And that's not hype. Ladies and gentlemen, InfoWars has been under unprecedented attack for really 15 years, intensifying when Obama, in 2013, secretly listed us as a terrorist organization for destruction by the CIA and FBI that was declassified earlier in the year by the Trump administration. I'm all over the Crossfire Hurricane. I'm all over the Arctic Frost as one of the main people to be taken out by the deep state itself. And the reason for that is we have the information. I have the background. I have the research. I have the guest. I have the crew. We have the giant audience. They tune in and they cannot stand what they hear being discussed on this broadcast. So when you spread the word about this broadcast, when you pray for this broadcast, when you share the articles and videos and reports or take them and make clips yourself and share them, this belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. When you do that, you are the amplification system. Again, you're not part of the fight. You are the fight. And when you support this operation financially, you allow us to stand up against the Paul Weiss law firm, the top Democrat law firm in the country, and we are having major victories against them. We've held them off, shutting us down, as you've seen, intensely the last few years, and it is just a knockdown, drag-out operation. But regardless, the Alex Jones store, thealexjonesstore.com, is not owned by me, it's owned by Bigley. It's funding InfoWars and the fight and the crew and the operation and the bandwidth and everything. And it's funding the Alex Jones Network backup that's been built. So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free on almost every supplement we've got. A few of them we can't because of methylene red, a small shipment came in. It's going to sell out probably today. So add, and this is the key. You don't just buy one of one type and get the same one free. That's the usual deal. You can buy any supplement and buy any other supplements. You can buy a $20 supplement and buy a $45 one free. You understand? So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultra Methylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate power drink mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate power drink mix, two great flavors now available at thealexjonesstore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. Atomic Defense. Incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn. Safe, healthy, metabolic rate turn up to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra. Great for your brain. The Tallow Balm. We never talk about enough. Optimal Human. The ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do it without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
Now, back to our program.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
Everybody knows my rule. I interview people that have been consistently right over and over and over and over and over again, whether economists or FBI whistleblowers or members of Congress or whoever they are. But there's another class who I interview, and that's the trendsetters, the game changers. And Gab McGinnis, who obviously on New Year's 2025 has had a few delicious cups, a true patriot, a guy that launched so many major trends, it's insane, joins us. So we're not just interviewing somebody that was right consistently. We're interviewing a trend setter, a maverick. And it is about celebration. So as we, in the twilight of 2025, I just want to salute the great Gab McGinnis, an incredible patriot who always defended my free speech, everybody else's. And just say we are blessed to have him. Censored.tv, Gavin underscore McGinnis on X. The mighty Gavin McGinnis taking time away from his Guinness to talk to us. We salute you, compadre.
I salute you, Alex. When I was fired from Blaze TV, you saved me. You played a video of the Bionic Man and said we can rebuild him, and it really did rebuild me. So I'll be perpetually indebted to you for that. But what an effing year. I mean, it started with the death of racism as an accusation. That was a major turning point where not just white people, but everyone went, okay, that word's stupid. We're done with that word. And then it sort of freed us to go investigate other myths. And that, like, the Somalian daycare thing is not the Somalian daycare thing. The Somalian daycare thing is government incompetence. And that's why you're seeing this huge trend today of I'm not paying my taxes anymore. And I mean, I don't want to end up like Wesley Snipes and go to jail for, you know, $10 million.
But if enough of us do it, there ain't shit they can do.
It's a bluff. The entire American government is a bluff. And thanks to, I don't know, what was the catalyst? What brought this on? Was it you? Was it the
I think it was all of us, but I'll be quite frank. I think it was masses of black Americans, who was Americans against, seeing the Somalis who were so arrogant, them calling them out. Then Nick Shirley, and now thousands of people have hit. And it's just exponential, and it shows the power of the people. You can feel this is bigger than Trump. This is bigger than everything. This is finally the people realizing the info war. I can feel it right now.
I know, but why did 2025 explode? What set it off? I mean, the Somalian thing is just this week, but this whole year has been a giant awakening where pariahs like you and I and Nick Shirley and all these other guys, Alex Stein and even Trump in a sense, have been vindicated, where they go, oh, you guys are not the bad guys. You guys were right.
Oh, look
all
at Trump
along.
Literally saying, I don't apologize. Get out, Somalis. F you. I agree. The spell is broken. It's fully broken the last week. And so it's happening all over the world. It's the Great Awakening. I just think we're, like you said, it's going to get more intense, more insane. But the enemy's going to strike back, though. So it's going to be the unstoppable force, the immovable object.
You know what I would like? I don't even want you were right. I want $7. I want every moderate who is on the left, who's moving to the right, to come up to me on the street and give me $7. I want a 5 and 2 1s. I want you to give me $7, all of you people, because we have been sitting here when it was very unfashionable to say the government is corrupt and they're throwing our money into a wood chipper.
Now they took our bank accounts, they put us in jail. That's what's so sweet about it, because all these new people that woke up are bitching it's not happening quick enough. I agree with you. I'm an optimist. Shut up. You haven't been doing this decades like me and Gavin. You bitch, we're moving at light speed. We used to be moving by donkey speed before.
I want $7. A beer here at the bar I'm at right now, we're celebrating New Year's Eve, is $5. A tip is $1. So $7 is just $1 profit. I want $7 from every moderate who said we were nuts and doubted government malfeasance. And by the way, the government's about to collapse. If this whole not paying tax, if we all become Wesley Snipes, you guys are screwed. And you know what I realized, by the way, the other day? I make a lot of money. We have 40,000 subs on censor.tv. We're paying $10 a month. So I'm in the upper brackets of taxes. About 45%, your $3.7 billion settlement.
Well, they asked for $2.67 trillion, yeah.
They did?
I'm not joking. Doesn't sound real. Pull up Bloomberg. I'm not joking. Keep going. Dude, I never had $10 million in the bank. That was what was so funny about it. But yeah, keep going.
I spend that on shots. But if you're working... If your taxes are 45%, right? Aren't you a slave for 6 months of the year? Aren't you working for free? For people who hate you, by the way. Like, look at, remember the whole thing about kidnapping that governor?
By the way, let me apologize. It was bigger than I said. They asked for $2.75 trillion. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you should pay it. Just to get it off your books. Just pay that and get it off your debts.
What's funny is I never cared about money, so I got like a Ford truck or a house, and like I never even use the tiny hot tub, the tiny little pool. I don't give a shit. So it's, what's funny is they're like, they think they did this. It makes it a bigger joke than ever.
Yeah, you're not a very I know you. You're not a very opulent guy. You're at work all day. You're not like in Paris sampling caviar. But
by the way, why wouldn't I want to talk to millions of people and do real shit? Like, I love a beautiful beach. I love a sunset. I'll do it. But, God, compared to talking to Gavin McGinnis and talking to tens of people, this ain't a question, man.
Dude, I got back from Mexico today. It was boring as shit. I did not enjoy myself at all. I don't like the beach. But what's happening this year is we ended. It's almost like racism was the gate. It was the hoax.
It was the spell.
Yeah. And once white people went, not only am I not racist, I've never been racist. You might have an argument like two generations ago, but as far as right now goes, nothing. And that sort of freed not just whites, but I'm repeating myself, but the entire Western world to go, what have you guys been doing? And now we look into what they're doing, and they're just fucking...
Well, let me ask you this. Have you noticed all these incredibly articulate black people speaking out, somebody I can't keep track of it, who are literally defending white people in the West and saying, this is pretty freaking good. Let's be part of this. Like, yeah, come on. Isn't that beautiful?
Dude, I've seen black people going, we need white people to survive. They're good at stuff. And you know what I've always said about white people? We're not supremacists. We're not like better than you. We're not gods. We're just good at systems. We're like little beavers. So let us gnaw at your trees and make little dams and organize your taxes. We're good at like creating societies. You can be cool. You can play jazz. You can fucking play basketball. We're not the coolest guys in the world, but we're great at systems. So let us do your systems.
And let's explain why. It's Asians, too. It's another thing. It's equatorial people. When you are in an ice age, if you don't plan stuff, you're dead. And it's literally genetic of pre-planning. So that's, you're right. White people are nerdly and like autistic, but that's what we do.
I was just in the Mayan ruins like yesterday. And it's funny how the Mayans had, 200 languages. The Aztecs had one language. They had an organized society. They built Mexico City. They had agriculture. And they were more north. The more north you are, the better you are at surviving because it gets cold. And the more south you are, it's too easy to just grab a papaya from a tree and eat
it. No, all the anthropologists know it. It's not bad you're in the equator because you're strong and you're tough. It's all about how fast you are and how hard you fight. You got a plan when half the year it's freezing.
Yes, the Aztecs ran Central America and
you nailed it. Mexico. They now think the Aztecs actually came out of North America and came down because they could pre-plan.
Do you think they came from the Bering Strait or whatever? Do you think they?
Well, we know they've done the genetic type. It's Chinese. So about 30,000 years ago, Bering Strait from Russia, the Huns basically.
So that's why my kids look like this.
Yeah, your wife's Native American. Yeah, I'm part Native American. Yeah, that's all. It's a fact. It's genetic. They came in, and that's what it is. But the point is that it's all about the climate. Because again, 12,000 years ago, we're in an ice age. We're 6 months out of the year, 20 below zero. If you ain't got your shit together, you're dead.
Right. So why is that a curse? Why is that like an undiscussable?
And people
subject?
Get mad
like,
at why us is that an because evil we're thing? Thinking a bunch of steps ahead. We can't help it. That's how I'm always like 27% like, because I've got a plan. I got to make this thing. People are like, what are you doing? You should think in the moment. I'm like, no, I'm thinking 1,000 years ahead.
I don't know. I don't know if it's the booze talking, but I'm feeling actually pretty optimistic about 2026.
Yeah, tell me what's coming in the future.
We finally realized that it's meritocracy is back and we don't care who you are or what you're doing. You know, I think a great example of the end of this previous era was Jasmine Crockett. She's a ridiculous clown. She was, pushing these prices. And she was consistently ridiculed. She said, like, law enforcement is not about preventing crime. It's about solving crime. And Barack Obama, a shooter, Kamala Harris said, no, I don't want you. You're the court jester. And I feel like she's really the end of an era. She really ends that whole, like, everyone is racist, I'm a victim, need reparations. Like, she really, she's like a tomb. She's like the pyramid. She's Tutankhamun. She's a big casket. And she was the final end of all that shit.
No, I agree. She's the tombstone. Like, ask anybody, do we think Donald Trump will lead us out of this or Jasmine Crockett? I'll ask anybody. If you're going to get on a lifeboat with a captain, you want Jasmine Crockett or Trump?
Even the liberals deep down, if you fed them truth serum, if you gave them OxyContin, they would be like, look, I just like complaining. I understand that Donald Trump is good for the economy. I was just in a bad mood because I'm mad at my dad. Their whole crap is daddy issues. They know they need Trump. And I think they know what we know, which is Donald Trump is not enough. We need another 4 years of J.D. Vance. We need another 4 years of, I don't even know, Donald Trump Jr. We need another 16 years of Republican rule to untangle the effing mess that is America. We became a socialist country somewhere. The Somali daycares are indicative of what's happened to this country. And what's really depressing about this exposition is all these normal, you know, high IQ Americans going, why are you exposing the Somalian daycares? What are you, racist? And you go, racist? I don't even know what a Somalian is. I'm exposing corruption. You think I hate Somalians? Where the F is Somalia?
Let's be clear. It's a ruling tribe in Somalia of slavers who believe they're a ruling class. That's why they're on video saying, I'm a god, look at me. That's why they're inbred. It is literally a Arab slave group who's really black, but they won't say it. They won't even talk to American black people. That's why black people get so pissed off when they go up there. Like, they won't even talk to them. I mean, it's like they're like brown KKK for real, and people are like, what is this? They're a perfect corrupt bag man for the Democrats. And that's what's coming out, whether it's Ohio or Minnesota, anywhere. The Democrats are using Somalis as bag men. So I'm not giving them a pass. I'm just saying it's coming out now that the Democrats are above this.
And they all hate each other, too. That's why that weird light bulb head didn't win the mayoral race, because he was in some... I'm talking to my pal Alex Jones here. We're trying to save the world.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, brother.
What's happening?
Good.
Not great insight there from the drunks here on New Year's Eve.
No. I got a lot of insight.
Okay. Well, we were just saying that even the Somalians in Minnesota, it's all tribal warfare. These guys all hate each other's guts. They don't even have a plan for America. They just have a plan for their own particular demographic, their own tiny. Yeah. They're tourists. You know the analogy I used a long time ago? Imagine we were street urchins in like Glasgow, Scotland, and we got like a plane ticket to Tokyo, and we would be like, this is free money, I'm in. And then we started getting elected to, you know, political leadership. We'd be like, well, I'm going to keep giving my
money. Yeah, imagine 100,000 of us go to Tokyo, and we start pushing everybody around. It's like retarded.
I don't even blame them. Like, if I was a street urchin in Glasgow...
No, I agree. We have been a big mark. We're, like, begging to be raped.
Do it. If the
have you seen the videos
of
Somali saying, you are my slave. You pay my money. You are my bitch.
Pick it up. Pick up the money.
I was trying to tell my son about this today.
Uh-huh.
Like, they got, like, a voting... Like caucus.
How do they jump into politics? Like, I understand.
How do they jump into politics?
You move in as a pile of refugees, and you're like, we just want to stay here so we don't get bombed. And then the next thing you know, you're the mayor.
Yeah.
You're like Ilhan Omar. Become major players in America.
Hey, yeah, but did you see the mayor dancing with a Somali flag?
Jacob Fry, what mayor?
Yeah, of Minnesota, of Minneapolis.
Yeah, what a clown. That guy is anyone's dog for a vote.
And by the way, I watched the video. The Somalis are laughing at him while he went and cried at
George Floyd's golden casket, literally made of gold. Heaping sobs. That guy is anyone's dog for a bone. And if there's any good news about this, when we see Tim Walz and Jacob Fry ball and sob and kiss Somali ass, it shows America that these guys are anyone's dog for a bone. They are such pussies.
Best headline of 2025 was the New York Post, Frog in a Headlight.
Frog in a headlight.
All right, brother. Good to talk to you. Gavin, the time we got left.
Sorry.
Look, it's ours to lose. Overall, Trump's night and day compared to the Democrats. What do you predict? What does Trump need to do? Hey, Gavin, if you were talking to Trump, what would you tell President Trump to do?
Persevere, dude. Ignore the critics. I know you're relatively thin-skinned, my man. You're relatively thin-skinned. You get mad when people disparage you. Move on. Get over that and focus on deportations. Your deportation numbers. Cheers. Have a good night. All right, Happy man. New Year. Bye. Your deportation numbers are not amazing. I think we have 50 million illegals in this country. Biden definitely let in 12 million, which is as much as Ellis Island. So you need to get rid of 10,000 a day. You're not even getting close to that. So despite
and they're all signed up with NGOs as fraudulent cash machines.
Yeah, you're like in 2015, he won on build a wall. Every time he did a speech and it was falling apart, he would say build a wall and everyone would go nuts. Ann Coulter, that's why she supported him. That's why she wrote in Trump We Trust. That's why he exists. He exists for borders. And by the way, this is something Americans don't understand. Every country has borders. Like, they're anti-ICE.
Everybody's tribal. We have to get at least a little tribal again.
The Philippines has ICE. Guatemala has ICE. Mexico rounds up the Nicaraguans in school buses and brings them back to the border and dumps them. What the hell do you think a country is? Every country has border enforcement. Go wander over a border in Finland, and you'll be arrested. You'll sit in a tomb all
night.
You'll
have 1 minute over the border in the woods. German shepherds are biting him.
That's the way the entire world works. And to be honest, it's the way it's worked since I'm coming back from Mexico. But the Mayans and the Aztecs, like, every tribe has its area, dummies. And we're all mad at America for enforcing the border. I don't think Trump can even take a bite out of the 50 million illegals.
And we've got a tribe that if you buy into freedom and America, you can be part of it. We're the best tribe. That's why the globalists can't compete with it, why they admit they want to discredit it. We should be proud of our tribe. It's actually inclusive. It's actually the only liberal. We're the real liberals. We're the classical liberals. Yeah. The modern liberals are lying, assaulting that because no one can compete with the real America.
You know what's ironic about our tribe, too? We're the least racist tribe in the world. We invented meritocracy. We said
England banned slavery.
You don't even have to be Christian, but just respect Christianity. We banned slavery. We said, this is a meritocracy thing. Come here, respect our history, bust your ass, and you're in. No, Japanese people aren't like that. Mexicans aren't like that. Chinese people aren't like that. Pakistanis aren't like that. Pakistanis, you can't even not be Muslim. We bring in Muslims in droves. Come on in. Just respect our country. And we're known as the white supremacists? No. This is the rule. Come here, respect the greatest culture on earth. You know, Victor David Hansen is in an operating room right now. One of the smartest people I've ever heard speak. You're smart too, by the way, Alex. You guys are in the same boat. But I'm reading his book, Culture and Carnage, and he's talking about battles and the way the West has always won battles. And they've won battles because they believe in each other. They have this democratic philosophy, and the leaders, the generals, the captains, they fight with the soldiers. That's why they always win battles, because it's an egalitarian society. We've invented the greatest society on earth. And then once we master it, once we perfect it, we're like, let's bring in the people we defeated in the Ottoman Empire and the Crusades, the colonies we let lapse, and let's wreck the greatest culture on earth, which is a non-racist, totally egalitarian, meritocracy-based culture. We want to ruin it. Why is that? I'm worried it's genetic. I'm worried that
it's because the globalist transhumanist system can't compete with that.
Well, everyone blames Jews, and I think that's a total cop-out. There's something in us. It's almost like the Tower of Babel, where we go, we're doing too well. Let's self-sabotage. Let's wreck ourselves. Let's open a bunch of Somalian daycares and let them blow $2 billion.
My father always told me, Gavin, he said, people I see that get success too quickly destroy themselves. It's like this weird thing.
Well, if you want to ruin a man, give him everything he wants. Look at rock stars. What do? They do cocaine to death. They get a bunch of strippers. They hate themselves. They drink themselves to death in the pool. Maybe that's what we're at. Maybe we're at the Motley Crue point of civilization, where we're just like getting a fellatio and looking at our phones at the same time. Is that where we're at?
No, I agree with you. That is where we are. So what is your prediction for the midterms? Because we're in the fourth turn, and we should be able to win this, even though we don't normally win it. The party in power loses the House. I mean, Trump has to go to total war. I mean, we're not seeing indictments. I know you're overall optimistic. I'm optimistic about the global awakening. That's not a debate. But action-wise, where he has control administratively, he's doing a great job. But when it comes to actually prosecuting these people, it's an F.
They won't be prosecuted. Pam Bondi, like, as Fuentes pointed out recently, this is all performance art. Unless anyone gets prosecuted, it's not real. But I thought we were going to get murdered in the midterms. But I think Nick Shirley literally changed the course of Western civilization. This dumb minor thing with daycares was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I think it's going to change the midterms and change the future of America. Republicans are waking up.
I agree. I mean, there's literally thousands in Minnesota, thousands in Ohio, and the public figured out, oh my God. And James O'Keefe was the precursor, so were we, but this is beautiful. So was he,
Nick Shirley said, I'm going to just choose a random thing. Could have been an art class across the street. He chose a random thing and he goes, I'm just going to look at this. And they're open at 2 p.m. Like, whatever you say about the doors were closed, a daycare is open at 2 p.m. 80% are unemployed and there's 4,000 daycares. And then we all started going, it's not to be hyperbolic, but it's kind of like 9/11. Like, when 9/11 happened, I go, I wasn't that interested in politics, but wait, what? The World Trade Center collapse? What have you guys been doing? And I think Nick Shirley, in a way, is the new 9/11, where a whole generation has gone, wait, what have you guys been doing? What else is going on?
And it shows the power of the people. 2-minute break, do 5 more minutes. I'll let you get back to your fan base. The mighty Gavin McGinnis, censored.tv, Gavin_McGinnis on X. We'll be right back. So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Kind of, I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed. Well, 2 I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King. And then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones. And it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon. So Please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.